This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This story begins with the godfather of AI, a man named Geoffrey Hinton. In Canada, back in 2012, there was a team of AI researchers led by Hinton, the same guy currently warning folks that AI will doom civilization. They were working on the artificial intelligence technology that everyone's talking about now. And this is key. They were using NVIDIA graphics processing units for their work.
Basically, NVIDIA had invented this way of using its graphics chips for all other kinds of computing. And it had not particularly thought about artificial intelligence.
That's Don Clark. He's been covering the chip industry for decades.
But these researchers in Toronto decided these were a great engine for doing what they want to do. And this kind of snowballed and really is kind of at the core of the AI revolution we're now experiencing.
Wow. And how did NVIDIA even find out about the researchers in Toronto?
What happens in this community is people start writing technical papers. And at some point, they started, you know, submitting papers. You know, there are like annual competitions in this whole AI world. There was a famous moment when, you know, the NVIDIA GPU-powered things, you know, just kind of soared to the top of the list. It's sort of like recognizing a cat in an image, kind of a test. Mm-hmm. You know, basically at a certain point, the machines got better than the humans. And that was kind of a big crossover point. And NVIDIA was heavily involved in that.
At the time, NVIDIA was best known for their graphics cards in the video game world. But when word got to them that their cards were gaining traction for use in AI, light bulbs went off.
They just leaned incredibly heavily into it. And they started doing just about everything you can imagine to make it easier to do the software on their machines. And then they just started adding more and more layers of software to make it much easier to do this work on their chips. And at the same time, they started adding more and more features into their chips to make them better and better at this kind of job.
To run an AI system, you need a ton of computing power. And NVIDIA's GPUs, or graphics processors, have become the go-to source for that power. You see, NVIDIA dominates the market for GPUs. That's the tech at the heart of generative AI systems. The explosion in AI hype that followed the release of ChatGPT has propelled NVIDIA's stock into the stratosphere. It's up more than 170% this year, a leap practically unheard of for a company this mature. They briefly hit a $1 trillion valuation this week, putting them in league with tech giants like Alphabet and Apple, even surpassing Meta, and launching a bit of a frenzy in the markets. NVIDIA is looking like the first big stock win of the AI era, and investors are salivating.
Basically, no one is really anywhere else but NVIDIA, really, in terms of this market. NVIDIA has just kept accelerating. I mean, it hasn't rested at all on its laurels.
Earlier this week at Computex, one of the largest computer trade shows in the world, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang spent most of his time discussing how the company was going all in on AI.
And if you want to scale out large language models, if you want to scale out vector databases, if you want to scale out deep learning recommender systems, this is the way to do it. This is so easy to use. Plug this into your data center, and you can scale out AI.
So today on the show, how NVIDIA rode the AI revolution, became the hottest chip maker in the world, and made the entire AI craze suddenly seem very real. I'm Emily Peck, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about tech, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank, USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
To understand how NVIDIA got here, it's important to talk about Jensen Huang. For those familiar, you're probably thinking of the leather jacket he's seemingly always wearing, similar to Steve Jobs' trademark turtleneck. During the pandemic, he held product launches from his kitchen, where his personality and flair for showmanship were on full display.
I got something I gotta show you. Alrighty. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what we got here... it's the world's largest graphics card.
But in 1993, NVIDIA was just an idea that Huang and a couple of his friends were mapping out inside a Denny's. You know, the stuff of Silicon Valley myth. At the time, they were focused on gaming.
They basically set out to do the graphics job. You know, video games, gaming was a big thing. You know, CPUs didn't do it very well. So they started in that business and they rode it really hard, and they are huge. And basically anything that's visual about computing, they were there. They were always involved in the chips that made, you know, movies, like chips that scientists use to visualize things, you know, like you trying to visualize the shape of an atom or something like that. You know, anything that involves painting images on a screen, NVIDIA has just been pushing the envelope constantly. They've spent $37 billion in research since the company was in the inception.
Is there something about Jensen that makes him at the forefront of this, or is making him take risks that others aren't?
I mean, what I would say is, in generally speaking, when your CEO is very deep technically, those are the glory days of any company. Hmm. You know, when Bill Gates was running Microsoft, you know, they were kicking ass. And Steve Jobs was running Apple, you know, they were kicking ass. The great leaders who have really helped the industry, no engineer can snow them about, oh, it's too complicated or we can't do it or whatever. You know, Jensen is very, very deep technically. And he reads all the scientific literature. You know, he talks to the scientists directly. He's always been very close to Elon Musk. He's always been very close to these, you know, people. He'll have one of those GTC conferences and he'll be interviewing on stage Musk, or he'll be interviewing some real, you know, some very, very deep AI scientists. And he really, I mean, he talks to those people constantly. And so he's just at the top of his game. This speech he just gave in Taiwan is just like, he went for 2 hours solid. You know, he did not break. It was just going on and on. I mean, and I mean, it's kind of crazy. One of the good things about COVID for me was that it gave a time limit to him. You know, they would schedule it and it would last that long. And he did it from his house. You know, this thing, this past weekend was his first time performing for an audience in almost 4 years. So he was really reveling in it. And, it was pretty interesting.
That's a slow burn for a startup founder. Like, I feel like they're usually young guys, mavericks, you know? This is
a
company
that's... young maverick in 1993.
That was a long time ago, Don.
Now he's turning 60. yeah. So, but he, he still gives off that energy. I mean, he's very on stage, sort of like Jobs in his turtleneck. He always has his leather jacket. He never changes his style. He's a great interview. You know, he doesn't give a canned response. He really thinks about the question and answers it honestly. And he'll express an opinion about just about anything. And it's usually pretty interesting.
NVIDIA has long been considered one of the premier chip makers for video games. But that doesn't mean they were always successful.
AMD, its rival in graphics chips, is all in on making the graphics chips that are used in the Xbox and the PlayStation and all that. Mm-hmm. And NVIDIA had some experiences that kind of burned it. You know, those big order kind of deals aren't very profitable. In Jensen's commencement speech in Taiwan over the weekend, he talked about very early on, they had to develop something for Sega, and then they realized right in the middle of the project that it wasn't the right thing to be doing. So they basically had to reverse out and stop the development, but ask Sega to give them the money anyway, which was kind of interesting. But the company would have gone out of business if it hadn't got this check from Sega, you know. But there was another time when it was going to make chips for the Xbox, I believe, and it fell apart. They did have their issues in mobile. Another big reverse was they wanted to buy the big chip licensor ARM, you know, the major chip. And for that was going to be a huge deal. And basically regulators around the world blocked it. So that was a stumble. But I have the feeling that it was just as well for NVIDIA that deal never happened.
But now NVIDIA is uniquely positioned to capitalize on the AI rush. Their chips are some of the most advanced on the market. And they've been the leading chip maker that powers AI systems for almost a decade now.
There's an argument to be made that basically AI is going to change every single bit of software that's ever going to be created from now on. And think of every single thing that has intelligence in it, from your toaster to your car. It all has software in it. If the way that is written is going to be changed by AI, I mean, Jensen describes basically this, you know, how many trillion dollars of investment in the data centers of the world. He says, well, that's basically all going to be flipped. And it's all going to be, you know, changed to be accelerated to do this kind of AI way of working. Mm-hmm. NVIDIA famously was in phones and basically just literally decided to get out of it. They were starting to get some traction, but they just decided, we got to focus on this data center thing. It's just too big. You know, it's just, you know, you'd think there's nothing bigger than the phone.
Yeah.
But they decided, they literally walked away from that. And there's many other companies that think, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say they're only the data center. I mean, they're into robotics, they're into factories, they're into all kinds of things mm-hmm. that they think are going to be transformed by AI. But they're not really in the phones. And there are other people who are, you know, expecting AI, they call it AI at the edge. There's going to be a lot more of the processing out in the world. And I think a lot of people who are competing out there say, well, you know, NVIDIA's not really diving so heavily into this one. That's the space I should target, you know, because that'll be the thing that, you know, might be a space that NVIDIA's not in.
When we come back, is NVIDIA really worth $1 trillion?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan. And World peace.
Okay, we get it. World peace might seem like a pipe dream. But what if I told you it's not? 2024 will see more than 50 elections around the world. And in some places, peace is actually on the ballot. One reason is because countries in Europe and Latin America have been experimenting with this thing called feminist foreign policy. Because right now, the way that we wage war and peace, it's kind of a boys' club. The new season of Things That Go Boom from Inkstick Media and PRX is coming March 18th. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
This isn't the first time that NVIDIA has seen immense growth on the back of new technology it powers. During the crypto boom, NVIDIA GPUs were highly sought after by crypto miners, even after its CTO said publicly that crypto, quote, does not bring anything useful to society. As crypto went gangbusters, NVIDIA's stock soared, only to crash back down to earth along with the crypto markets.
Basically, crypto miners were competing with gamers for the same kind of GPUs used to power video games. And so the stock got this bubble. It was very hard to quantify because nobody quite knew how much of NVIDIA's numbers were reflected the crypto boom. And then they got hit when it all sort of unwound. Mm-hmm. But the AI boom is about changing everything we do. I mean, every Google search you do now is powered by AI. Every time you look up somebody on Facebook and there's people are recommended, you know, what the next feed, that's AI. Everything is going to be AI. It's not a fad. It is inevitable. So you could argue about how fast it's going to be and, you know, how far it'll be. We could argue about that, mm-hmm. but it's not a fad. What happened a week and a half ago when NVIDIA did its earnings was it had great earnings for that quarter, right. But it said the next quarter, it was just going to jump like 50%. I mean, it was a kind of prediction that almost no one in the chip industry has ever made about a coming quarter. I mean, and what's behind that largely is A, they have all these orders coming in from people like Microsoft and Open, you know, for the generative AI and everybody else. I mean, right now you can't get an NVIDIA chip to do this. They're so short of supply. So NVIDIA is going to have, you know, from a relative trickle of chips coming in, it's going to suddenly have a very solid stream, and there's no short-term reason why that would slow down.
I cover markets for Axios, and we've been watching NVIDIA stock do really well this year. But then, what happened the past week and a half? That it touched $1 trillion valuation. It's now like in league with Apple, Amazon, Microsoft. It just felt like. Yeah, it felt like it came out of nowhere, but it sounds like it really didn't.
I knew it was going to be a big quarter. I did not expect it was going to be like that. The markets are always 6 months ahead of predicting all these cycles, you know.
Yeah.
So like last year was a terrible year for semiconductor stocks. And the, you know, basically around mid-year, it started really being really bad. But then when everybody, you know, if you think the cycle's going to turn, you want to be the first person to bet on getting in there. So mm-hmm. basically, there was a lot of premature betting that there was going to be this turnaround. That's why a lot of semiconductor stocks have done well this year, mm-hmm. even though, you know, for besides NVIDIA, the numbers of the companies like, you know, Intel and AMD and people like that, the first quarter numbers were not good. But you're always trying to bet ahead. And so people were kind of betting ahead on NVIDIA a little bit. But then when this thing hit, I mean, it was basically the prediction of the second quarter. The next fiscal quarter that it was just going to take off.
I guess what I'm also asking is why the rush of orders with NVIDIA? Was it the introduction of ChatGPT that kind of like upped the level of competition in the overall AI market and pushed companies to ramp up or something?
That's basically what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, first off, Microsoft and OpenAI did this deal and, you know, it was announced last year. NVIDIA was saying tens of thousands of GPUs were involved. So everyone else is starting to, you know, basically realize they all realized they had to up their generative AI game. You know, Meta yeah. has like a 16,000 GPU grid array to do stuff. Google's got a massive thing. Amazon is doing this sort of thing. So basically, you know, all these cloud providers are They're basically using GPUs in two ways. They have their own AI jobs that they're doing internally for themselves. Mm-hmm. And then they're also, with the exception of Meta, they're also selling computing cycles to other people. So if you're a startup and you want to do AI, what you're usually doing is not buying a GPU, is you're going to AWS and using their NVIDIA-powered service, computing service. Mm-hmm. So both those things are happening.
But because of how much companies rely on NVIDIA for their infrastructure, their biggest competitors are also their biggest customers.
I would say the most serious competition to NVIDIA is the internally developed AI chips at Google and at Amazon. And because they realize they know the job pretty specifically and they can tailor their software for it, they can get a pretty good cost reduction in doing this AI work. So Google's most famous for doing its... They had the chip that beat the Go game, you know, that back in, you know, 5 years ago or something, you know, they had their own AI chip that did that. So they do some of their own work and some sell some work on their own Tensor TPU chips, they're called. And Amazon, which has done a lot of its own chips for other parts of the computing job, recently introduced a couple of AI chips of itself, which it says is starting to get traction, although it's pretty early days for those.
So the biggest competitors to NVIDIA are the big tech companies that it's now in league with also.
Yeah. I mean, but they're customers and competitors simultaneously, which is not that uncommon in Silicon Valley.
Okay, so I believe you that AI is, everything's going to be running on AI and it's the future, but it still has this feeling, and just looking at the stock market, looking at NVIDIA's stock price and all the coverage right now, it has bubble vibes. It reminds me of the dot-com boom when everyone was like, the internet is the future, and the stock market showed that, and then...
I'm not defending the current stock price of NVIDIA, because there's all kinds of speculative stuff in there. I mean, and, you know, the money... flows, you know, like, oh, I'm a fund and I need to get some AI in my portfolio. Who can I buy? You know, it's kind of, there's a lot of stuff that like that, that's not super rational.
Yeah.
So if we're having this conversation 2 years from now, would I think NVIDIA stock price would be where it is now? I wouldn't say it's guaranteed at all that it would be as high as it is now. The future is always perfect and pristine, you know, but I wouldn't discount anything about the revenue they're going to get from AI. The question is going to be, how is that factored into how much the stock price is already inflated? That's one of the things about this whole semiconductor space, is it's not enough to build one great chip. You have to have a roadmap of better, better, better. And each one of those things costs hundreds of millions of dollars to develop. So it's not a game for the faint of heart.
But where the chip making is hard, NVIDIA has made entry into the AI business relatively simple.
People underestimate the software and they make it so easy, relatively speaking, to get into AI, NVIDIA. You know, they have like a university to teach people how to do stuff. They have their own supercomputers that sell cycles to other people. You know, they sell reference designs for other server makers to make things. They have all these pre-trained AI models that they give you for specific jobs and specific industries. They have just built up a huge software moat around their business.
That's really smart. And then you create business for yourself. You make people expert in your thing. Yeah.
I mean, they're getting, it's a, you know, Bill Gates used to always talk about, we're a feedback loop. You know, we talk to all these customers and they tell us what to make next. And it's very similar what NVIDIA is doing. They talk to all the smartest AI guys constantly and they get told what to make next and they make that.
Don, thank you so much for coming on.
Great. Bye-bye.
Don Clark covers the semiconductor industry. And that's it for our show today. What Next TBD is produced by Evan Campbell and Patrick Fort. Our show is edited by Jonathan Fisher. Alicia Montgomery is Vice President of Audio for Slate. TBD is part of the larger What Next family. TBD is also part of Future Tense, a partnership of Slate, Arizona State University, and New America. If you're a fan of the show, I have a request for you. Become a Slate Plus member. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. We'll be back next week with more episodes. I'm Emily Peck, filling in for Lizzie O'Leary. And you can find me every week on Slate Money, a podcast about business and finance. Thanks for listening.
I'm Dahlia Lithwick, and I'm host of Amicus, Slate's podcast about the law and the U.S. Supreme Court. We are shifting into high gear, coming at you weekly with the context you need to understand the rapidly changing legal landscape. The many trials of Donald J. Trump, judicial ethics, arguments and opinions at SCOTUS. We are tackling the big legal news with clarity and insight every single week. New Amicus episodes every Saturday, wherever you listen.